Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Q2 FY24 conference call, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Owen. Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Q2 FY24 earnings call. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank Utkarsh management team for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us the entire top management team of Utkarsh, represented by Mr. Govind Singh, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sarjukumar, CFO, Mr. Alok Pathak, Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Trilok Nath, Head Microbanking, Mr. Umesh Arora, Head Assets, Retail and Wholesale Lending, Mr. Sanjay Sharda, Head Consumer Banking, and Mr. Puneet Maheshwari, Head Finance. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Govind Ji for opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Renish. Thanks for it. So thank you very much for everyone for taking time out to attend our Q2 FY24 earnings call. During the quarter, we continue to expand our franchise. We have opened 20 new banking outlets during Q2 FY24. We have acquired 200,000+ new customers and continue to broad-base our deposit profile. Our loan book has grown by 26% year-on-year and 3.5% quarter-on-quarter. If you see our loan book growth composition, our retail loan book, excluding OD/FD, has grown by 14% quarter-on-quarter and 88% year-on-year, in line with our expectations. Slower overall loan book growth is primarily on account of lower growth in microbanking at 2.6% quarter-on-quarter and decline in OD and FD book from rupees 394 crore as on June 2023 to rupees 140 crore as on September 2023. A degrowth of OD/FD book lowered quarter-on-quarter loan book growth by 1.8%. Adjusted decline in OD/FD book quarter-on-quarter growth would have been little over 5%. Even in microbanking business, while the growth has been relatively slower in Q2 FY24, we continue to see healthy new customer acquisition. Number of MB customers have increased by 3% quarter-on-quarter to 27.2 lakh as on 30th September 2023, and a result, average ticket size for our JLG loans declined further to rupees 33,200 against rupees 33,500 last quarter and rupees 34,700 at the end of March 2023. We are seeing pickup in disbursement in microbanking business, wherein microbanking disbursement for the month of October 2023 were about 30% higher than monthly run rate for Q2 FY24, which gives us confidence that MB loan book growth will also pick up in H2 FY24, and we are maintaining our overall loan book growth guidance for FY24. Our individual loan product, MBIL, to existing matured JLG customers continues to see good traction with a year-on-year growth of 140%, with strong asset quality of 0.5% gross NPA. We continue to build digital experience for our microfinance customers through complete digital onboarding, e-sign, e-KYC, digital collections through customer-specific QR code, micro ATM, and other offerings. On our retail loan book, excluding microbanking, as we highlighted during our last earnings call, efforts are on to build MSME lending, housing, and wheels book further in a little more informal and underpenetrated segment. We have introduced Micro LAP product and over time expect granularity and yield of these portfolios to improve. We'll also utilizing our microbanking branches to build these portfolios more granularly. On MSME lending, wherein we have around rupees 2,000 crore loan book and currently operating from around 80 locations, there is a significant headroom available to expand retail book offering within our existing franchise. Our core geography has significant potential for this product. Currently, 95% of our MSME loan book is secured loans. In the wholesale lending segment, We are focusing more on small ticket SME lending, average ticket size of less than 5 crore, wherein we become primary sole lender to the customer, meeting working capital funding and securing our exposure through a hard collateral cover of over 100% in all the cases. In case of NBFC, lending, we continue to operate primarily in entities rated in A or higher rating category by external rating agencies. There are no NPAs in our wholesale lending portfolio. On the liability side, we have focused on strengthening the deposits profile through a broad basing of our deposit profile, reduction in bulk deposits and top 20 depositors concentration. We have also focused on prudent utilization of surplus liquidity and brought down surplus liquidity to close to rupees 1400 crore against more than 2000 crore in the previous quarter. Our retail term deposits have grown by 50.5% year on year, and bulk deposits have declined by 2.4% year on year. Total deposits grew by 19% year on year in our case. We continue to build our banking franchise and opened 20 new branches in quarter 2 FY24. We have opened 133 branches over last 1 year. Out of total 269 general banking branches, currently around 42% branches are in less than 2 years vintage. We believe we'll gain significantly over time as these branches mature. In order to strengthen our reach among tech-savvy depositors, we have done fintech partnerships to acquire retail term deposits in August 23, which is showing good results with retail deposits through fintech channels at rupees 45 crore plus as on September 23. We have also launched instant saving and term deposit account opening through video KYC on our bank's website. We continue to build digital experience for customers through complete digital onboarding. More than 95% of our liability customers were onboarded through digital onboarding in quarter 2 of FY24. We have also launched interoperable cardless cash withdrawal, wherein our customers can transact, withdraw funds without card on ICCW-enabled ATMs. We are also live on Aadhaar-enabled payment systems, AEPS, as an issuer as well as acquirer, wherein our customers can withdraw through AEPS, as well as customers of other banks in rural and semi-urban locations can use our micro ATM network at MB branches for routine banking transactions. We maintain tight control on the net interest margins through reduction in bulk deposits and prudently using liquidity buffers, which along with repricing of loan portfolio helps bank to maintain NIMS at 9.2% in quarter 2 FY24 despite an increase in cost of fund in general. We maintained tight control on operating efficiency and kept cost income ratio under control. Overall, we are witnessing stable financial performance as reflected in ROA and ROE of 2.3% and 18.2% respectively, and successfully building on our strategies of creating stronger franchise for our microfinance business as well as for MSME lending, housing loans and wheels lending. We continue to invest in our people, presence, processes, products and technology. Overall, we expect loan book growth to remain broadly in the same range of previous year loan book growth of 31% plus, deposit growth to follow trend in loan book growth. We expect ROA and ROE to remain at 2% plus and 18 to 20% on sustained basis. I will now hand over call to Sarju, our CFO, for taking through financial performance of the quarter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Govindji. Completely on board, our experience of banking, including our edge on MFI that we have gained over the years, coupled with our investments made in growth engine, like you just mentioned, rollout of 133 banking outlets, our headcounts and skills getting placed to fulfill our aspirations, and also importantly, our inclination to ride on superior technology, which is led by our transformation project team, it all augurs well with the projections that you just mentioned in terms of current financial year. Now, let me quickly talk about numbers related to financial results for the quarter ended September 2023, and let me start with our interest income. Bank's interest income was 442 crore for the current quarter ended September 2023. It grew by 17% YOY and 4.6% QOQ. Operating income was at 547 crores, which grew by 25% YOY and 6.4% quarter on quarter. pre-provision operating profit, and this is an important parameter that we track, was 238 crore for the current quarter, which grew by 15% YOY and 7.4% quarter on quarter. Our cost to income ratio was at 56.5% as in the quarter for the quarter Q2 FY24. Interestingly, we just mentioned that we have been investing in our growth of engine and the rollout of 133 branches or headcount increase all gets loaded at a lag, and this quarter one and quarter three we have got this cost loaded in the expenses, post which we are generating the return of operating profit by raise of 15% YOY. One more strategically, as we have been speaking in the last call, is about the floating provision. We continue to follow making additional floating provision, and in this quarter we have made 14 crore of additional floating provision, which was same as in the Q1. So we are having a 28 crores of floating provision in the half year results. The total floating provision balance as at the September year end balance sheet figure is about 120 crore. Our credit cost, just to emphasize that it's reported at 2.3%, but the floating provision weightage in this is about 40 basis points. So excluding the floating provision, our credit cost is 1.9%, below 2%. Coming to our profit numbers, our profit is 114 crores for the current quarter, which increased 30% YOY and 6.4% quarter on quarter. For the 6 months period for the half year ended FY24, we have reported a profit after tax of 222 crores, a growth of 25% YOY. All of that, the business activity culminating to the return of ROA of 2.3% and ROE of 18.2% on the increased capital base, because this 18.2 is post equity infusion funds that we raised very recently. In terms of the one key capital adequacy ratio that the regulator and the fraternity investment keeps its eye on, we are at a very comfortable capital adequacy of 24.8% as on September 23, providing adequate headroom for our follow-up growth plans. If you recollect, we were upgraded in our ratings by ICRA from A positive to A plus stable. In this September, recently, our CARE ratings upgraded our long-term debt paper from A to A plus stable, which indicates that they are endorsing the inherent capability of our business model, both in terms of income and returns and asset quality management. Now, before I hand over to the investor fraternity of the curiosity that they may have some questions, just 2 points that I would like to reflect upon. One is resilience, another is consistency. If you look at the slide 29 of our investor presentation, we have given a return on equity average for beginning FY20 to half year FY24, about a 5 year period. And you would remember that FY21 and FY22 was a difficult period in terms of business environment. And therefore, out of 5 years, almost 2.5 years were a very difficult business environment. In spite of that, with heavy weightage of difficulties in the ratio, you will see that the bank has generated 15.3% ROI. So the resilience of the business to where we hold is established with virtue of this slide that we are showing in slide number 29. I would also like to draw about my second point is consistency. And if you look at slide 27, we have given trajectory of recency in terms of last 5 quarter performance. And if you look at yield on advances, our middle point of yield on advances is 19%, which is continuing for last 5 quarters. Our midpoint is 9.4. We are around the same trajectory. Even recently with hardened interest rate or the mix of secured and unsecured book changing, still we are at near to the midpoint of 9.4 in terms of our NIMs. Our ROA has been static at 2.3. Even our current quarter ROA is 2.3%, and our ROE at 20%, we are almost near to the same. So with incremental disbursement that we mentioned that we are gearing up with a higher ROI, we believe that the trajectory of consistency will be maintained. With focus on productivity and yield, I think that will be something that HY, second evenings of the current year, we will see a performance in terms of at least maintaining the trajectory. With this, I end my commentary. If Govindji, you have anything else to add?
So I think we can make the house open for question and answer unless we have some additional point. Anyone of my colleagues? So Ranish, we can open this for question answers now.
Sure. Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Gaurav Kochar from Mirai Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening team. Congrats on the quarter. So a few questions, sir. One is on the AUM growth guidance for FY24, if you can refresh that. And in terms of, if I look at 1H24, has been relatively soft in terms of growth. So in the next half, what is the anticipation? And in terms of, let's say, the month that has gone by, October, do you see the disbursements on track for the full year growth that we are envisaging?
Yeah, right, Gaurav. Thanks for attending this call. So as far as growth plans are concerned, so as I mentioned in advances, we expect last year it was 31%, you know, and it will be above that, it won't be lower than that. It should be much better than that, in fact. And we have seen the traction, in, as I mentioned, in case of other than microfinance, you know, we have seen a significant growth in H1 also. And further, you know, the rate of growth and the percentage of growth will go up in case of H2. So overall, growth for this year will be above 31% for this year in terms of overall AUM for the bank. And we have seen already good traction in the month of October. As I mentioned, one of the reasons why the H1 growth numbers are not looking significantly higher was lower disbursement in case of JLG in the initial phase. So we have seen at least in the month of October itself, the microfinance disbursement are 30% higher than what we have done average for the quarter two. So that's a big indication from our side that, you know, we'll see a good significant growth, and microfinance around 20-odd% growth for this year, plus 20-odd% plus, and overall 31% plus growth for the AUM, is minimum from our side.
Sure. That's good to know, sir. So next question is on margin. So it's, there are two questions here. The first is on the TD repricing bit. So last quarter our TD cost was 7.9. This quarter it has gone up to 8.2. What is our, let's say, marginal TD cost? Is it similar to 8.2 that we've seen in this quarter, or the marginal cost is still higher?
So Bharat, the highest rate we offer on the retail side is about 8.5%. And the marginal cost, which is basically, let's say, combined for retail and institutional, was less than 8.2% for the quarter as a whole. But still, what we believe that, you know, the market remains tight, liquidity condition remains tight, and hence the term deposit cost may inch up a little bit from what we saw in quarter two, which is, let's say, 8.2%. And to that extent, overall cost of fund may increase by about 20 basis points over the next two quarters.
Okay, so the pace of increase will be moderate because last
quarter, certainly. Yeah. Most of it, actually, as we said last time, most of the repricing has happened by now, maybe about additional 20 basis points and next two quarters.
Sure, perfect. And on similar on the yield side, if we talk about the microfinance book, which was yet to reprice, can you tell me what is the portfolio yield in microfinance and what is the disbursement yield, the difference between the two?
Yeah, so microfinance portfolio yield was close to 23% for the quarter, and disbursement yield is about 25%. And what we see basically as the full repricing happen, probably overall microfinance, it will go up at least by 80-90 basis point, from where we are currently. And on a balance sheet basis, yield should go up by about 50 basis point from where we are currently. See, another thing, what has happened is because our book is also, let's say, a combination of microfinance and the secured lending. And what we have seen so far in H1, the share of secured loans have gone up by about 4%. And microfinance has come down because the growth for microfinance was also a little slower. As Govind sir had also highlighted, now we are seeing pickup in microfinance, and there should not be much, let's say, decline in terms of the ratio between microfinance and secured from here till March 31st. And to that extent, basically, both yield and margins are going to be a little bit positively impacted.
Understood. So here, let's say the repricing happens, you're saying portfolio yield can go up in microfinance from 23 to 23.6.
Yeah, that's correct.
You might see some mix change in favor of which could offset some bit of yield. So net 9.2 margin you can continue to maintain in the next two quarters.
Yeah. In fact, our this thing is that most likely about 15 to 20 basis point improvement we will see over next two quarters.
Okay. That's good to know. Lastly, on the asset quality front, the slippage was 100 crore, stable sequentially, but there was some inch up in the SMA book, very marginal, but slight inch up. So, how do you see the slippages and overall credit cost for the second half of this year, given that typically second half is better for banks in general?
Yeah, so we do expect that, you know, overall slippages for the year will come down from this level. And for the year as a whole, we expect around 2%, which is currently around 2.3%. It will come to around 2%, you know, overall for this year by improvement in S2. So there was some, you know, increase obviously in quarter two, which is visible. But overall, this number will come down to around 2% for the whole year as a whole.
Sure, but the irregular monsoon has had no impact or not much impact on the portfolio so far. In terms of collections,
yeah, for a very mild impact, because in fact some pockets had some challenge because of drought, so maybe Trilok wants to speak a little bit on that part, but some pockets had little bit impact on drought. In fact, there was no flood this time, you know, flood impact I'll say. There are floods in some of the other pockets which were not, I mean, our geography, I'm talking from microfinance and MSM in that angle, those are not impacted, but some pockets had, as you mentioned, you know, drought situation or you know, less rainfall. We had some slippages in those cases, and that gets normally, you know, normalized in next 2 to 3 months time, and that's why we are saying that there are some slippages in quarter two, but quarter three should be much much better because of now we are seeing things becoming normal.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Kochar from Mirae Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the follow-up question. Just on the branches, sir, if I look at the branches, there are about 20 branches we have opened in this quarter. And if I look at the cost to assets, it was broadly at 6.2, 6.3. So in the second half, do you see more branch openings in this year? And maybe for FY25, you can guide the kind of branch opening we are expecting. And at the same time, let's say if the growth is better in the second half, can we expect some bit of operating leverage kicking in and cost to asset actually improving to 6% or lower?
Yeah. So, Gaurav, as far as expansion is concerned, yes, we opened 50 branches in this quarter two. And we have very limited number of branches to be opened in quarter three and quarter four. Our business plans are, you know, we are in the process of making expansion plan for next year. And we expect around 125 odd branches getting opened in next calendar year. So I mean, I'm using calendar year, maybe some branches might open in the month of February and March based on our assessment. But generally these branches will be opened in the next half year. I'm saying April to September, most of the branches. And the number will be in the range of 125. And from October till March, the number will be around 12 to 15 only. I don't have exact number right now, but it's not more than 15 odd branches. We might have some of the verticals, you know, going to new places. For example, I mentioned MSME is at 80 places. So they will be going to more than 80 places where we already have a branch. But opening of new branches per se, it will be restricted within 15 branches for this S2 only. But next year, obviously, is around 125 odd branches, what we are contemplating.
And Yeah, and Gaurav, on OpEx to assets and OpEx to AUM, which was about 6.2 and 8.4 for quarter two, as you also said, that, I mean, we are basically expecting pickup in business more in H2 than what was the run rate in H1. So to that extent, we are expecting about 10 to 20 basis point improvement in the cost ratio itself.
Sure. So in let's say, if I look at the ROA tree for the next two quarters, if you're building in maybe 10-15 basis point margin improvement and maybe 10-15 basis point coming from OPEX, can we expect a 2.5 kind of ROA exit, you know, by FY24 exit, fourth quarter of FY24?
See, Gaurav, on ROA, I mean, while what we had said with respect to NIM as well as OPEX to asset, I mean, it is visible, but still on ROA front, we would like to maintain the guidance which we had given. Otherwise, in terms of, I mean, honestly speaking, on credit cost as well, we are seeing ideally there should be some moderation in the credit cost as well, which Govind sir had highlighted in initial remarks as well. So, all out, I mean, there should be some improvement, but from a guidance perspective, we would like to maintain our earlier guidance of 2.3.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Yeah, thanks, Gaurav.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jayant Raghavan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, dear sirs, and thank you for giving me this chance. My question is regarding the staff cost. You know, to get a sense of the scale of the staff cost, I just did a quick comparison with another microfinance player, the small finance bank called Ujjivan. So I just see a delta between the two, you know. So our staff costs seem to be like 3 or 4% more than theirs. So can you throw some light on this, because this affects the margins as well. Is it that we operate at this scale, or is it that we have hired in anticipation of a higher revenues and growth, or is there a chance to bring it down, or how does it work?
So while, I mean, the one difference obviously could be the way staff cost, let's say, is kind of getting counted as well. Because a lot of times it may be outsourced staff, which may not be, let's say, coming in the employee cost from accounting perspective. So that may be one reason. But if you see from our perspective, I mean, the way we see is basically from, let's say, from a productivity perspective, we find our numbers to be one of the best in terms of productivity in the microfinance business. And other businesses, as we had highlighted last time as well, we are building these businesses, I mean, MSME, HL, wheels, as well as the liability. So some investments are being done in these businesses, and benefits obviously will come, let's say, as we see more improvement in productivity and so on over the next 1 to 2 years. So basically, I from a cost perspective, we think our cost matrix is on a better side, and we continuously monitor it.
Okay, clear. And the other income part, you know, is there any scope to, is it coming from the investments that you show in the balance sheet? The other income?
No, other income actually, this is not on investment. So basically, largely our other income is, one is the loan processing fee income, which is very stable fee income. And we amortize this over the loan tenor. So to that extent, there is more stability in that. Then another stream which we have is the general banking and the transaction income, which again is improving for us as, let's say, the client activation and overall penetration, account opening, etc. is happening. Then the third largest stream for us is the PSLC income. I mean, given the fact that we are predominantly in microfinance, affordable housing and MSME lending, which are all priority sector activities, as well as the fact that we are in rural and semi-urban locations, so we have good surplus PSL portfolio which we keep monetizing. So that is another stable source of income for us. And last one is the recovery from return of account. So we are seeing basically, let's say, I'll say the consistent recovery from return of accounts as well, which have been written off in COVID or in general. So this is basically the large composition of other income. As such, there should not be much seasonality into it.
Okay. And the last question is, I mean, if we look at the road ahead, say 3 or 5 years from now, would we be able to better the ROE that we are doing? So right now we have projected for around 18%. You know, so would we be able to cross beyond 20% or 22% in the coming years?
So thank you, sir, for this question. But our trajectory, as you mentioned, is around 80-20%. And what we are confident that we'll be able to retain and maintain this irrespective of composition of our asset mix. We are going more secured now and more non-microfinance also, and even on a larger balance sheet. So I think we stick to our guidance of 18-20%, at least next 3 to 4 years horizon. That is how we look at.
Okay, clear. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Karpe from Shriram Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is on the collection efficiency. So what would be our X bucket collection efficiency, and what would be our credit guidance for this year and for the next year?
So collection efficiency is largely same as it was last time. So on, let's say on a non-NPA book, we are seeing a collection efficiency in microfinance at about 98.5%. And for NPA book, it is about 25-odd%, and the combination is close to 97%. And on credit cost, we had said that including floating provision, we are expecting a credit cost of about 2%, and we would like to have the same guidance for financial year 25 as well. While as we let increase more on the secured loan book side, ideally it should come down, but we would still keep a guidance of 2% on the credit cost side. This is including floating provision, as we had said last time as well.
Got it. How has been the performance of our new secured book?
So, new secured book, the way we look at, let's say the microfinance and non-microfinance, two parts. So, if you look at NPA, in microfinance book, we have about 3.5% NPA. And if you look at non-microfinance book overall, our NPA is about 1.2%. And overall, it's about 2%.
Yeah, and one more question, the last question from my side. Is there any update on the reverse merger side?
So reverse merger part, we have not done any work on that part, and we still intend to, evaluate that. So our idea is that, holding company and bank will get into and get into a discussion and then take a course for future. So it is still at the, I'll use about evaluation stage. We have not taken any view, or we have not taken any, confirmed view on this part. And we do expect that now I think both the boards and both the sides will have a discussion and take a view and take it forward from there. So maybe when we have next call, we should have a clarity, what are the plans of bank and the holding company on that front.
Okay, so during the next conference call of Q3, we should have some decision, right, on the reverse merger?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead. Ashlesh, you are not audible. Please use the handset mode while you're speaking.
Hey, hi. I hope you can hear me now.
Yes.
Just one question around the individual loan book. Growth in this book has picked up quite robustly now. So a few questions there. Firstly, what gives us comfort on the growth in this book? And what kind of metrics do we have here in terms of eligibility criteria? What proportion of these customers would be open market customers? If you can just answer some of these questions, please.
So I'll just hand over to Trilok, he's our head of micro banking. He will talk about this part. Only last question I want to just mention first, that currently we are only doing a mature JLG customers. I mean, we are here to go for open market. Obviously, when at a right time we'll look at that market also. But currently we have a large set of our JLG customers who are mature customers with us. So currently we are focusing on our existing customers only. On the metrics part, Trilok will take it over.
As sir has mentioned that we provide this loan, microfinance individual loan, to mature client only. And if they have this repayment record of 18 months, at least 18 months, perfect repayment record, then only we provide them this microbanking individual loan. And these loans are in the ticket size of 1 lakh to 2.5 lakh with a tenure of around 2 years to 4 years. And currently we have a separate team which is separate than this microbanking JLG team. And credit part is done by the mainstream mainstream team of the bank. So this credit is done independent of the business. So all the this matured clients at one part, and then this credit is done by the separate team, credit team of the bank. So this portfolio is performing very good as of now. And there we have a repayment track of 99.5% plus. And NPA also on very, very lower side. And we have this loan book across around 250 plus branches, and we have plans to expand it further to other branches. We have just crossed this 500 crore mark on this micro individual loan. So, and we have plans to take it forward and grow more fast than our
current history. Okay, just a couple of follow-ups on that one. What would be the eligibility criterion when it comes to delinquency of that customer during that vintage period which he has with us? And secondly, yeah, if you can just respond to that one first, please.
So, in this, especially when we talk about individual loans, as Mr. Trilok has mentioned, so these are all those clients which are mature clients, and also they are having a better credit score. So we, this is very different than our microfinance. So initially we were going as a project. Then now almost 250 branches are doing successfully. And this actually also includes the entire credit part. So it means when I'm talking about this individual loan, so it means it will always be like my clients who have not shown any kind of delinquency in the past. Then only they will be eligible for that. And if you see the overall volume also, so this number is very small. Actually, it is a very successful project what we have seen. Our delinquency is less than 0.5% as on date. And I think this was very encouraging, and we want to go a little, we want to focus more on that, and a lot of potential we are seeing it here. Because of two reasons. One is control-wise, it is having better control. Credit quality-wise, it is having better credit quality. And the most important part is the past history. So past, only for the good past history we are seeing. The other question what I think previously asked about this, whether we want to go for the open market, so I think that we have still not done, because we have seen that lot of potential here itself. So probably once we are through with this, and entire team is well-versed with this kind of loan, so definitely we may think of those lines also.
Okay, perfect, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Pathak from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir, and congratulations on a good performance. Sir, I had a question on the deposit front. So I believe while the headline deposit number shows a flattish growth on a quarter-on-quarter basis, you guys have done relatively very well on the utilization of the deposits. As you can see from the CASA and the retail share going up from 62 to 66%. Would you have any internal targets on where you want to take this retail deposit share to by the end of the year and probably next year?
Okay. Yeah, thanks for this question. So our, you know, internal targets are that retail term deposit CASA should be at least 70%. Currently it is around 66% or so. It should be at least 70% for this year. And, you know, on a medium term basis, obviously we want this to be around 80%, and 20% will be dependent upon the wholesale deposits. You yourself mentioned that, you know, we have reduced our wholesale term deposit in absolute number also. So that is the whole, you know, the composition of, I think, book, that is what we are focusing upon. And the use of liquidity, these two things are very important for us. But as I mentioned, it's 70% is what we are looking at the end of March 24, in terms of CASA and retail term deposit put together. Sanjay, want to add something?
Yeah. So if you see, we also cut down our top 20 depositors from 28% of March 22 to 18% now on September. And this trend will now gradually come for going forward. Also, we're looking at similar or lower numbers. And the focus is primarily on CASA and RTD, which is going to be our fuel for growth as we move along.
Okay. So on that, so if I were to just look at the balance sheet numbers, we are running almost 100% plus kind of a loan-to-deposit ratio. So given the fact that we are crossing 100% and we want to focus on the retail deposits, would you see, the cost of fund going up, you now going to offer more finer rates on the term deposits?
So, as we mentioned, we think that the rates, the cost of deposit part or the market rates have actually bottomed out. So, we may not see any major reduction in the cost of deposit, immediately. We talk for Utkarsh or we talk of the industry in general. So, same is here, and our cost of deposit other than repricing cost will not go up. The benchmark rates will remain the same range, at least for next 3 to 4 months time, whatever we can see. So, we're not going to change our rate of interest significantly from here, and the cost of my funds will remain almost the same. Other than repricing, as Puneet mentioned, that may have an impact of around 20-25 basis points till March because of the repricing of FD only. But nothing beyond that.
Okay, but on the balance sheet management, are you okay with 100% LD? I mean, I know you'll have benefit of the small borrowings from, say, FIDB and all those refinancing lines. But just on a pure loan-to-deposit, are you okay with running a balance sheet with 100% LDR?
So expectation for guidance for this year is should be around, say, 97% or so when we close the year. It will come down from here and it should be in that range. Actually, what has happened, we have consumed a lot of excess liquidity that we are having, during even last financial year also. As I mentioned, it used to be more than 2,000 crore, and on a completely little larger balance sheet, now it has come down to almost 1,400 crore, in fact. And in fact, it is coming down further. So, that's why we were, not taking more deposits because we were having surplus liquidity. Having said so, now we are seeing a good growth in advances, and for every advances, we require 125% advances as far as deposits are concerned. So, at the end of March 24, it should be in the range of 97% or so. And that is what as a guidance, we can tell today.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on good numbers. So, sir, my question is again on micro banking collection efficiency, which is 97% excluding arrears. So, sir, it seems to be slightly lower than peers. And if I recollect last quarter, we were expecting slight improvement, happening in that number. It's been flattish this quarter. So the question is there any regional color, in this? I mean, is there a couple of states which are dragging the overall collection efficiency?
This is lower in some parts only. It is not lower in overall. If you see in Uttar Pradesh, so we are not working in entire Uttar Pradesh, in fact. If you compare the collection efficiency of peers, most of them are working in entire Uttar Pradesh. So in this eastern UP part, if you see this two, three districts Mirzapur, Sonbhadra, and then Sant Kabir Nagar and Faridabad district. So there we have some issues, and everyone is facing such issues Karja Mukti Abhiyan was there, and then some issues related to drought also in this Mirzapur and Sonbhadra belt, because there is no proper way of this canals and all these things. Canals are not there, so proper irrigation is not there in that belt. So there some hit is there on the agricultural side. And second part, if you see Haryana, so Haryana also we are not working in the entire part of the Haryana. So we have mostly branches in Ambala, Kurukshetra and Karnal belt, and there we have some issues. In that part, again, in few parts of Uttarakhand, there was a flood, unfortunately, this year. Flood not in our core geography, UP and Bihar, but there are some flood impact in Uttarakhand. So there, few branches are impacted. And last, this Nagpur belt, we have some issues. Otherwise, if you see our entire, like Rajasthan, our entire portfolio in Odisha, and then Bihar also, most of the part, it is now improving. So overall, it is improving, and we expect that it will come at the level of like we were last year. It was 97.5, 97.8. So we will be improving from this year itself, from this month itself, and by the end of this financial year, we will be in the range of 98.5 or something like that.
Okay.
And we are developing the mechanism for also. It is already being done. Like we are putting more people in collections also, so that they have a very focused approach on write-off collection, NPA collection, and SMA-1, SMA-2 bucket of collection. So that also we are doing on those lines also.
Just to add to what Trilok sir had said, I mean, wherever we are seeing, let's say, I mean, kind of a lower collection efficiency, specifically, let's say, straight or isolated places, we are reducing exposure as well, or let's say we are keeping our stance little more conservative. So whether it is Haryana or Chhattisgarh or Delhi, wherever we saw lower collection efficiency, we have reduced our exposure as well vis-a-vis March. So that should also help eventually in terms of bringing things to the normalcy.
Got it. And Trilok sir, if you can highlight anything in Bihar to be you know, flagged off, is Bihar performing as good as it was before? Because you know, the context is we have seen many players, you know, entering the state. The market is becoming more and more penetrated. Have we seen any impact in terms of rejection, indebtedness, or even customer retention?
So we don't see any challenge still in terms of customer retention and rejection. Of course, with these guidelines of RBI, which were issued last year, so there are some impact on the rejection, because now in last 1 year, people have given all the data, and now bureau are providing the full information. So due to that, there are some rejection. But still in terms of potential and this client availability, Bihar is still, it's very, very densely populated, and many many companies are coming there, many players are coming there, but they are basically in urban area, you can say, or if they are going to a bit deeper, then they are going up to tahsil level, taluka level. And but we are in the, means we have branches at the block level, even beyond that we have the branches. So there we don't find any such challenge that client availability, regarding to client availability or retention or rejection. So we don't find many challenges like that in those areas.
Got it. The last question is on, sir, new CV financing portfolio. So when I look at the portfolio profile, we do new CV financing, the ticket size are 30-35 lakhs average, and we fund the small fleet operator. And the pricing is about 11-12%. So, sir, what is the thought process? Because, I mean, the customer profile looks slightly risky, and the ticket size is also large, and the pricing is slightly, I would say, slightly lower. I mean, do you think that the pricing is fully capturing the risk here?
So, thanks, Nakina. So, as far as CVC is concerned, or MSME is concerned, we are like catering right now to the bit sort of quality people, like quality profile customers. So since it is this like inception of portfolio building, we are very cautious about like what kind of portfolio we are building. If like we go little overboard, then in that situation like we might end up like losing on the risk front. So we are a bit cautious on that, but at the same time we are looking at the customer's expectations. Aspirations like okay, and we want to leverage our distributions like branches of NB and GB branches, and entering into the area of like, for example, used CV or like okay, micro LAP. So in those areas where we will be able to get a different like okay, rate of interest, so that like okay, we will be able to cope up a bit sort of like okay, risk if it comes like okay, in the near future. But overall, we want to be cautious on that, and I think the way we've been growing, the rate that we are having, I think trajectory is good, and let's live on.
Just to add only one thing, you know, what Umesh just mentioned, but still we are seeing a, you know, uptick in our yield as far as wheels business is concerned. We do expect around 20-25 basis point increase in the overall yield, if you look at the overall portfolio of wheels, maybe in this 6 months time, from quarter two to quarter four, we'll see around 20 to 25 basis point up as far as the yield on wheels is concerned. So that is anyway happening in our case.
Okay. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Jetani from BOI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question was...
Would you please be a little bit louder?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. My first question was on the MFI book. This is a reference to the earlier response you gave to the participant on MFI book to see decent disbursement going ahead and growth to come on that stage. So wanted to understand historically, say over the last 2-3 years, has there been a case where MFI book trajectory has been slightly slower in first half and second half it typically picks up for Utkarsh as such, because disbursement etc. seems to be largely flat basis on a YOY basis.
If you see the history of our MFI book in last 2-3 years, or even we can say last 10-12 years, normally it is low disbursement in quarter 1 and quarter 2, and it picks up with this festive season like Diwali, Dasara and all this festive season, it picks up, and then around 40% of the disbursement are made in Q4. So it is the history, and it is like that in last 10-12 years. We are working since last 14 years. So MFI book history, their performance is like that only.
The only one thing I want to add what Silok just mentioned, so normally historically in quarter 1, quarter 4 it is little lower, it picks up in quarter 3 and actually peaks up in quarter 4, that is one part. Second, for microfinance, because it, the average the tenure of loan will be around say 14-15 months only, average 15-16 months, so it runs down very fast. So, you know, incremental, you know, if I am able to do 30% disbursement, higher disbursement, that 30% state goes to portfolio build up in fact. So that certainly, you know, helps us. So it's not that, you know, I'm talking of say around 2000 odd crore, you know, book building during next 6 months time. It's not that we are trying to have 40% 50% increase in disbursement. Even JLG, if I'm able to disburse around 20% higher, then we'll be able to reach our numbers. That is second part. Third part is what has also happened besides the historically, you know, in quarter 1 and quarter 2. This time we had done a lot of initiatives as far as JLG part is concerned, especially from the tech angle. And because we are largely in the hinterland, you know, our 75% plus portfolio in the rural and semi-urban area, and where we have done things like eKYC and e-sign and, you know, lot of tech enablements, and we have 100% onboarding which happens through digital modes only. It has taken a little longer time because we have trained all these people. So sometimes the pace would have been slower in those cases. So that has also contributed a little bit. But now, you know, all these things are in place and we have worked a lot on this part. We expect that quarter three, and as I mean, that's why I mentioned that in December, October itself, the disbursement under microbanking was 30% higher than previous month's average in fact. So that we are already in track, and these are going to help us in a big way in terms of overall efficiency in the operation and even in the effectiveness of operations. That is what we are looking at.
Got it. That was helpful. Second question was on the cocktail of deposits today, what we have with increasing share of retail TD. So two piece of questions over here. One, a lot of your peers are talking about raising institutional in the time being, considering they don't know what exactly the rate trajectory is going to be. Some are expecting here to plan.
Can it be a little louder, please?
Yeah. So I wanted to understand the thought process on raising retail TD and institutional, because few of the peers are also highlighting that rates may settle or maybe slightly go down, so they want to raise deposits for the interim period, or maybe when I see your numbers, the retail TD, which I believe would be 2 or 3 year book, that share is growing at a slightly higher pace. So what thought process we carry, and in long run, this retail TD growth, what benefit we can have on the cost of funds?
No, the first benefit, I mean, the retail TD is, see, what we see is actually the sticky customer acquisition versus, let's say, institutional term deposit. So usually if you acquire a retail term deposit, there is a chance, 75% chance that the customer will roll over, right? So that is the first advantage why retail term deposit is preferred over institutional in our case.
Also, the most of these customers also end up opening their savings account with us. So that is the biggest advantage you get, because they can get their interest credited to their account, and hence it becomes a running account. And with the additional cross-sell of, you know, a UPI, Angel, or a bill pay, it becomes more sticky. So that is the reason why we are focusing aggressively on RTD.
So even if RTD, let's say, is 10-15 basis point expensive than institutional, RTD is a preferred.
Preferred mode is more reliable, more long-term.
And cross-selling is also possible.
And what we are also doing, we are more focusing more on digital also in this case. Of course, it's just beginning only, but we are able to get around 1.5 crore on daily basis on through digital FD also. Our expectation where the operating cost will be much, much lower. I think we do expect that, you know, that other costs will get neutralized in this case. But having said so, I think we are not saying we will not take the wholesale term deposit. We keep wholesale term deposit the way, you know, accounts may, they say, balances figure, in fact. Wherever we have shortfall, we might dip into that. But the in medium term, because we are a retail bank from the deposit side, so retail term deposit and CASA will be our focus area for, you know, for, you can say, medium term and for long term also.
So despite, say, 15-20 basis point higher and retail TD growing at such strong pace, our anticipation is cost of fund would largely increase by 20 basis point only going ahead.
Yeah, because most of it is already priced in. I mean, as I said earlier, our term deposit cost is about 8.2 for this quarter, right? And the maximum rate we are offering on the retail side is 8.5. Right? And obviously deposits will come in all the buckets. So to that extent, not expecting more than, let's say, 20-25 basis point cost of fund increase.
My last question was on the overall...
Sir, sorry to interrupt. Mr. Nilesh Chitani, could you speak a little louder or closer to the headset?
Yeah, am I audible now?
Perfectly audible. Go ahead.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Perfect. The last question was on the mix where the secured books or the retail piece is growing at a much faster pace. So what outcome or what trajectory one is building as far as NIMs are concerned, say from a 2 to 3 year perspective, if retail TD, if retail assets are supposed to grow at a much higher pace vis-a-vis the group lending book? Should I repeat my question?
That would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. So, wanted to understand from a loan book mix perspective, the mix is largely moving towards retail loan, be it MSME, housing, or CV. So, wanted to understand over the next 2 to 3 years where mix will largely divert towards these loans. What is the NIM outcome Utkarsh is looking at, considering the yields in this are significantly lower versus what yields we are earning on the micro banking side?
So our sense is that we should be in the current range should be maintained in next 2 to 3 years horizon also. I mean, we are saying 9.2% upward should be possible in NIM. One is that we also get, you know, efficiency operations. We mentioned we have opened a lot of branches during last 2 years. Those branches mature, and in fact our people are talking about staffing also. In fact, our staffing is enough for next 25-30% growth. I don't require staffing for next 30% growth from here. So our overall cost, you know, will come down from here. And the important part is what we are also looking at some of the asset classes within retail. For example, we are talking micro LAP, where the yields are much, much better than for a normal MSME or normal LAP. We expect 17-18% type of yield in those cases. Similarly, we are also looking at, you know, used vehicles, you know, where the yields are a little better. Similarly, we are hardly doing any unsecured lending under MSME segment. So in the lower ticket segment, lower means, you know, below 10 lakh segment, we are also looking at unsecured MSME portion where the yields will be better. So there will be certain things where yields will be better, and also our operational efficiency will take care. So though our mix of microfinance will come down from say 60% by another 7-8% or maybe 9-10% also in next 2 to 3 years time. But NIM part should be in the range where we are today. We don't expect any decline in the NIM range, which is around 9.2 or so. It will not come down from here, at least in the next 2 to 3 years time.
Actually, one more thing I want to add. What is going to happen, at least over next 1 year, we are going to get the benefit of repricing of microfinance loan book, which we had said. So maybe next 1 year at least, this only will help us in terms of improving yield. and maintaining net interest margin and let's say improving net interest margin from where we are currently, even if the cost of fund is increasing. And after that, obviously, there should be some advantage in terms of the CASA also building up further from where it is. So to that extent, net, we expect NIMs to be in the same range.
Also to add that our micro banking vertical as well is a great contributor to the, you know, PBT line. So with this growth, our all KPIs will be supplemented much higher than what we are saying, given the fact that it's a mass, good mass of business likely to convert in the next half year.
Got it, got it. That was helpful and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jayant Raghavan, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello once again. Just a couple of questions. Now that we are into the election season, usually it is found that, you know, politicians come and they make these loan waiver announcements that impact the microfinance industry negative. Do you think that this is going to be any kind of a challenge for us?
Thanks for this question, sir. So we don't expect any challenge. There are two main reasons for that. One, you know, you must have seen even the government is promoting microfinance in a big way now. And wherever our Prime Minister and Finance Minister talk about, they talk about microfinance, mudra loans, JLG in a big way. So there is a big support, you know, from the political class now. And we have seen in especially our core geography in places like Uttar Pradesh and Bihar also, and there is big support for this movement because they know, you know, this is actually, you know, supporting the people for through self-employment. So it is a big, you know, plus for them, plus from their side. Second, we have also seen, as Trilok mentioned, we are doing microfinance for last 14 years and our hardcore, you know, big geography for us has been UP and Bihar. And we have never seen any impact because of you know, political issues or because of elections, in fact. There might be some logistic issue at the time because they will not allow it to carry cash. Those type of things are separate. But from the overall, you know, working of microfinance angle, I think there has not been a challenge in past at all. So we don't foresee any issue as far as microfinance general elections in April or May 24 are concerned on microfinance activities.
Okay, that is good to know. And the book value currently is 24.5, if I remember correctly. So by March, where do you see us in terms of book value per share?
So sir, what we have basically guided is about 18-20% ROE. Right. So to that extent, I mean, obviously about, let's say, 9-10% accretion to current book value from now till March should happen.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Puneet Maheshwari for closing comments. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for taking out time and joining the call. Thank you, Ranish. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Ranish and ISEC team, and for all the investors for attending this call and being a part of this journey. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.